This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Since the day she gave me that coveted final rose, my wife, Trista Sutter, has made me a better person. If she can get me to know better, to do better, and to just all around be better, then I'm sure she can do it for you too. You're listening to Better Etc. with my wife and your host, Trista Sutter.
Hey everybody, this is Trista, and you're listening to episode 28 of the Better Etc. podcast. Today's episode is one that I thought would be fun after I heard from lots of people who really enjoyed my mother-daughter episode with Blakeslee. I thought, why not switch it and make it a mother-daughter episode with my mom? Especially because the day that we taped it, it was Mother's Day. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool to have a fun conversation with my mom where I ask her questions about the life lessons that she's learned from raising me? Because it's something that we don't talk about every day. Who does? You know, you just go on with your life. You go on with your everything that you need to accomplish in your day. And you don't really get to recalling memories unless you're going through an album or it's someone's birthday or some kind of celebration. So I hoped that I would connect with my mom and make another fun memory. And we laugh a lot. We have a really great time. But more than that, she really does share some great life lessons that I think that everyone can utilize in their life. We are just standard run-of-the-mill Midwestern girls at heart. And I think that that's kind of why people related to me when I was on television and still do on social media or wherever. So I hope that you enjoy her life lessons and will continue to listen. For Trista's takes, I saw a post that Ashley Rosenbaum, or Ashley Hebert, who was from The Bachelorette, of course. Hi, Ashley, if you're listening. That she posted on Instagram. And it was actually posted, she shared it from Maren Morris, who said in her caption, "I have lost so much sleep, joy, songs, and days worrying about my success cap. I loved this so much, I'm putting it here." She put it on her Instagram, and now I'm sharing it with you, because I thought it was chock full of wisdom that I think all of us can learn from, especially me. I think that this is something that really resonated with me, and I hope it will resonate with you too. How about you don't have to build an empire or dominate an industry or be the number one at anything? What if you simply built a lovely life that makes you feel happy, that brings you joy, that is generative and supportive? What if you healed the parts of you that need more and more and more? What if you redefined what success looks and feels like to you? What if you decided enough is enough? What if you felt satisfied in the right here, the right now? What if you realized your life is likely a lot closer to your ideal than you ever thought? What if changing the filter in which you view your life makes everything that much more vibrant? How much open, empty space would be left for your joy if you stopped thinking you needed to earn it? How much time could you spend in the actual living of your life if you let go of striving for more? How much more beautiful would this moment right here become for you? And that was written by Jamie Varon, or Varon. I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, but thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Maren Morris. Thank you, Ashley, for posting that so that I could see it and share it with all of you. All right. As per usual, or as usual, as my husband says, I would love it. Really, really be so grateful if you would share this episode with a friend, if you would subscribe and hit 5-star rating, even comment, so that I can hear which episodes you love and which have really resonated with you, so I continue on with more. I hope all the moms out there had a great day. I hope that all the people out there who struggle with the relationship with their mothers, who have lost their mothers, who are in the midst of losing their mothers who haven't been able to become a mother, and that's something that they hope and dream for. I hope that you were able to find some kind of joy in Sunday, or at least just take the day off and grieve and allow yourself to be sad and just veg. That's kind of what I did. I just vegged, even though it's a very joyful day for me because, of course, I love my babies, even though they're not babies anymore. I slept in, really did nothing. Ryan made dinner, and I got some great fun gifts, some very cute gifts. My daughter was showering me with lots of snuggles and affection, and it was a good day. It was a good day. So anyway, I hope that for you too. Okay, moving on. Here is the episode with my mom. Here we go. I wouldn't be here without her. Literally. Welcome to the podcast, Mama. My mom.
Thank you.
Roseanne. Thank you. Hi, Roseanne.
Hi, Trista.
Oh, we're so formal. Oh, not really. Anyway, thanks for doing the podcast. I'm really excited. You know, we're recording on Mother's Day. I know this will air later. And I thought, it would actually be really fun to podcast with my mom for Mother's Day. We can have a fun little conversation. Maybe I'll learn some things that I didn't know before. And you can share your wisdom with all of my listeners about your journey with motherhood and kind of the lessons that you've learned along the way. And maybe we'll get some behind the scenes into the reality of my life, like how the Grays.
That's hereditary.
Yeah.
There's a lot of white haired ladies in the family.
Lots and lots of white hair. Actually, so we went over to Barb and Bob, my in-laws, for anyone listening, and we were walking up to their house, and their house is up some stairs. They have stairs to go up to the front door. And she was looking out over the front stairs, and she's like, I thought there was a hole in your head. I'm like, nope, just my white, just my gray. Thank you, Mom. Yeah. Okay, so part of why I also wanted to do this is, you know, you found a recording from an interview that Grandpa had done, and he was talking all about his life and, you know, growing up and in the Depression and going to the war and what he flew as a pilot and all these things. And I know I've known bits and pieces of that, but I never really sat down with him and had a conversation about, you know, growing up in the Depression, how it was for him in the war, you know, raising four girls, all of these things. Like I really wish that I had started the podcast earlier, and I would have loved to have him on, and maybe Grandma before, obviously, she, you know, was diagnosed with dementia and Alzheimer's. So I'm excited to be able to talk to you about little things like that, because I'll have it on tape now.
Yes. Well, and that is one thing, the lessons we've learned over the years, mm-hmm. is that to get your family history early on. Mm-hmm. So you can get as much information as possible.
While people are still lucid.
Yes. And that's one thing that we wish we had done.
Yeah.
Before they both passed away.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, we still have an aunt, Mabel, who lives still in California. And Mom was 93 when she died. Mabel is 95 now.
Wow.
And still going strong. She's 70.
Yeah.
So, but she has information that she's given us that we didn't know.
That's cool.
About mom and dad. So,
I just think there's something about hearing it, like hearing that recording of Grandpa telling his story is so much more special to me because it's his voice, you know.
Right.
I hear him. I can see him. I can see his mannerisms. I can,
right,
you know, laugh with him when he laughs. And yeah, I don't know if you know this, but I don't know how to transfer them, but we have a landline, and on our landline, he left messages for Blakeslee on her birthday and just called to say hi.
Oh.
Yeah, I should play them for you.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, because Dad loved when we got together as family for the holidays and stuff, he actually started recording some of the dinners we had. So, but I have no idea
where
that recording is, et cetera. But before he passed away, maybe a couple months before, he was at the hospital, and it was a whole spirited conversation, and I recorded it.
Yeah.
And he said, well, there's a line of people here. And we think he was standing at the pearly gates and waiting. They were angels and other people who, because he was, then he started talking about doing laundry. My dad never did laundry a day in his life. So these recordings, and it's in his voice.
I need that.
Yeah.
So that's special. We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you all about our incredible sponsors. So back to you. So I would love to know, well, some funny things I'll be asking you, but also some special things. Like, do you remember a proudest moment of when you were a mom?
My proudest moment. One of them was you gave the eulogy for your cousin Chip when he died in a go-kart accident. And I should have also done it, but I didn't have the courage to do what you did. And I remember a father that was handling the ceremony told you, okay, if you feel like you're going to break up, to breathe and to swallow. And you did such a beautiful job with that eulogy.
I honestly don't remember it. I do remember standing up there, and I remember writing it because I wanted to make sure I got it right, or at least, you know, honored him in the best way I could.
And I still have what you wrote out.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it's with you. I feel like I saved it, but you know, and that's not something that you would record a eulogy. It's just for people's memories, but.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well,
and then they go on and on. I could have each decade, I could give three or four things. I was very proud of you for.
What about an instance, and I'm sure there are plenty of them, when you wanted to sell me to the highest bidder?
Let's see.
Which one? Although I feel like I was a pretty good kid. Like, I didn't get in a lot of trouble. I tried to be, you know, by the book. I'm still like such a rule follower. But there were definitely some times where I pushed the envelope just to see.
Well, one or two of them. One of them was I had a brand new black Toyota Celica.
That was what I thought you were going to say.
You're kidding. Yes. And
I think it was a day old, wasn't it? Like you had gotten it the day before, right?
Yes. I had hardly driven it.
Right.
And you had your driver's license.
No, I had just turned 16. Literally, I think the day before, and you got the car a couple weeks before that or something. And I had literally, it was the first day I was driving on my own. So anyway, go ahead with the story.
A story. I was going to say no. Of course. It's like, no, you can't drive my new car.
Right.
But I want to drive it.
Oh gosh.
So you did your eyelash thing, you know, mom, please, mom, please.
Now I know where Blakesley gets it from.
Yes, it's hereditary. Yeah. And I said, okay. So I didn't put any rules in with it.
Oh, yeah.
But I did discover by accident the accident you had with my new car.
Yep.
That you had picked up a bunch of your friends.
Well.
To go driving around.
Well, it was actually my boyfriend's friends. So it was him and all of his, and three of his friends in the back seat.
Oh, so it was all guys.
Yes.
And you.
It was okay. All guys and me. And you know what? I don't know if I've told you this, but the whole reason I was messing with the radio, I was trying to find the good station to impress my boyfriend or whatever. And I was looking down at the radio and I look up and all of a sudden there's a car right in front of me. And I'm like, ah, slam on the brakes.
Slam on the brakes. And then, so then the next thing I knew, I get a phone call.
Yeah. Oh,
Mom. Was it you that called me or did Hayes call me?
I don't know. I don't remember because we didn't have cell phones back then. I mean, please.
Right. So I don't even know where you stopped.
You're right. I have no idea. Maybe we had his mom come and get us or something.
I think that's what it was now that you say that.
Yeah, maybe. I think.
And it was the Celica had bumpers that gave.
Right.
That pushed back. And so that was really the only damage was
right,
this
with
bumper.
A bumper
had been pushed back.
Right. And you left it there forever until you got rid of the car. And I remember asking you, Mom, why don't you get that fixed or whatever? And you probably, I bet that you wanted to keep it there just to remind me.
Actually, it was because I thought she's going to do it again.
Right,
somewhere.
Totally.
So why fix it now?
Oh, no.
And actually, I never fixed it when I traded the car in 1999.
Yep.
So how many years? Well,
I was 16, so that was 88. So 11 years.
For 11 years.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
That's really crazy.
Okay, so another instance where you would sell me to the highest bidder?
Yes. Or maybe a low one.
All right. To whoever wanted me.
But was the day I took you down to IU to move into your very first room.
Okay, I know
at
nothing.
The residence hall.
I don't remember this at all.
Oh, okay. So we packed the car to the gills.
Yeah.
And I drove you. Your dad couldn't go.
Okay.
Or maybe we were already divorced.
You were. Anyway. I was in fifth grade when you were divorced.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Okay. So I take you in and we find your room and I'm lugging all your stuff and you're just chatting with everybody in the hall. And so then you and a group of kids say, oh, we're going to go somewhere. Oh, okay. As I'm still moving you in. And your roommate had a broken leg or something.
She did? Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah.
See, I don't remember any
but
of this.
Anyway, so you guys leave. And then I go out to the car to get more stuff. I get locked out of the residence hall.
Oh, no.
And you, I don't know, because no cell phones,
right.
Whatever. And I slept in the car.
You did. I didn't even come back?
You came back, but you didn't think to see if I was okay.
Oh, my gosh. Trista so Sutter. Or Trista Wren.
So anyway.
That no kidding, you would have sold me.
Yeah,
I would have sold me too. If my child,
so pissed.
I would have been so pissed at me. I don't know that I would forgive my children for that. I'm just gonna warn them if they ever do something like that to me, I will take them out of the inheritance or whatever.
Whatever's left. Yeah,
oh my gosh, that is. I cannot believe that. Trista, oh my gosh, how rude am I? I mean,
well, no, you were into, I mean, this is your first day on campus. You're
still
moving into campus all because you're Miss Social Butterfly floating around and meeting everybody. And
I mean, to this day, if we go somewhere and the kids are with me, I'll see someone and I'll just start chatting away, like just being social. And the kids are like, Mom, can we leave? Mom, can we leave? Mm-hmm. Mom, can we leave? Yeah, I haven't changed in that. But gosh, I hope that I've changed in terms of thoughtfulness and that I actually pay attention to the person who's helping me and paying for college. So,
that's one of the lessons, life lessons.
True story.
Allow your kids, give your kids permission to be them, but with the boundaries that you need to put in place.
Well, and also communicating, you know, saying... Yes. Yes, of course. You can go hang out with these new people, with your new friends, but please come back at whatever time and let's check in and make sure we're on the same page, you know. And by the way, like if you're moving all of my stuff in, like I should have been helping you.
Yeah.
Duh. So, yeah. Oh, God, that makes me mad at myself. Is there anything that you would change about how you were a mother or how you were a daughter?
I think I would have been less strict. I think I was pretty strict, but it's like giving you, not even giving you permission, but allowing you to be the person that you already were. Mm. Instead of me trying to make you fit into the person I was hoping you would be.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of wisdom in that, you know. Have hopes and dreams for your child or for your children, but don't be disappointed in if they don't fulfill those and embrace who they are and who they're capable of being because they are their own individual person.
Yeah, I think what parents need to do is observe their kids and realize just what things make them happy, what things make them sad. If they observe that and then adjust their expectations based on those things that they see, because a lot of times the kids don't tell you what you want,
right,
or what you want to hear, or they don't know how to express it.
Oh.
But if you observe them and see how they interact with their friends.
Totally.
See how they interact with adults.
Yeah.
And it's being more observant.
Oh, I mean, it's the same with Max. Like he's not very affectionate. And would I love for him to give me more hugs? And I know hugs are your favorite thing. Would I love that? And when we have him, like, if you're in town and I'm like, okay, give Grandma Zanna a hug, you know, he'll do the side hug thing. That's him. You know, he's just not comfortable with that kind of physical touch yet, or maybe ever. And that's okay. You know,
exactly.
He's still a great kid and we're proud of him, but you're right. We have to allow them to be who they are.
Yes. And I think you were who you were the day you were born. And I think every kid is.
Yeah.
There are certain things about you that just are part of who you've always been. Being social, feisty, you know, you like to talk to people, you like to get ideas, you like to initiate things. You love having bunches of friends. I mean, you were always the one who would make sure there were people gathering together, a certain group of kids. Oh, we need to get together, and you'd organize it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you all about our incredible sponsors. What did you think I'd do when I grew up?
Well, because I know you'd loved kids. You always did.
Yes.
And, because even the kids across the street that we used to call your nisters and your nothers.
Yep.
Because
they were neighbor sisters and neighbor brothers.
And,
yep.
And noms. And you were always playing with Craig across the street. So I always knew that kids were part of.
Yeah. Because he was younger than me. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He was the young one in the group.
Yeah.
So
I love babies. That's true.
That and I figured to be do something. The pediatric physical therapy I thought was a perfect fit for you because it was kind of body, maybe dancing more because you were red stepper, you were palm squad. That it always been about dance somewhere.
Although I've been thinking about it lately because Blakesley's really getting up into ballet and on point shoes, and I never got that far. Like I think I quit ballet to do like karate or something. I don't know if you remember that, but I know obviously I played soccer and then softball and.
Yeah, you were more into sports.
Yeah, I was more of a tomboy.
Not that, yeah.
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 What would you tell the Roseanne who was my mom when I was a teenager now, knowing what you know now? You know, if you could go back while she was still struggling as a working single mom, and if you could go back and tell her one thing, what would you tell her?
I'd say be on time.
Really? You had a problem with being on time?
With you, yes.
Oh, I see. Getting me to be on time.
Yes. That's one of my big things that just drove me nuts about you.
Yeah, your pet peeves.
Yes, you just drove me nuts with that. So
it drives me nuts with the kids. It drives me crazy. It's probably the biggest stressor to me when we're getting ready for school, especially, and the kids are like, I can't get him out of bed. And I think about you all the time. I'm like, oh, what my mom went through. Cause I love sleeping. Still do to this day. I slept in until like 9:30. Loved it every minute. Thank you for Ryan for watching the kids and the dogs. But I think about you all the time because I'm like, I know it's just going to get worse where they're going to be in high school and they're going to be like, oh, I don't want to go to school. Well, they get up, but it's like 5-10 different nudges and me saying, come on, come on, come on, let's get up. They're not the kids that set their alarm and get up when they're alarmed. I remember being in our house on Canyon View Court and snooze. I would hit the snooze button constantly. snooze.
And I'd scream up the steps.
I know. That is something I hate. I hate now. Like I've gotten so much better in that, including cleaning up. Like I would say I'm pretty tidy now. And
oh yeah,
I was a mess back then. I was so messy because I kind of had the whole upstairs of our house and I just, whatever, I didn't care. And then being late. Well, when I was a Miami Heat dancer, there was a girl who was always late. I will not name names, because people will know who she is. But she was always late. And it drove me so crazy because I'm like, I felt the disrespect. Like she was disrespecting me and all the other girls who were waiting for her to get started so that we could get on with our night because we had to get certain things done at rehearsal. And so when she was late, I just took it really personally. And that's what kind of changed things for me. It changed my perspective, feeling what I felt when people were late and I was involved, you know?
Yes, that's why it seems so weird to me that you even worry about that. Because back in the day, being your mom back then, your real mom, it was like you got booted off being captain of the POM squad.
I know,
I did. Because you had been late 3 days in a row.
Too many times. I know.
Too many times. So, and I thought that would have changed you, but that didn't.
No, it didn't change until.
It's something you have to grow out of.
Yeah.
Or realize that it's not just you anymore.
Yeah.
That you're affecting other people's lives.
Yeah. And I just didn't get that when I was like, it was all about me when I was younger. And I was an only child at the time, you know? It was kind of all about me for a lot of it.
That, yeah, That's interesting, because I never thought about that, because if there had, you might have been competing.
Right.
Like we, the four girls that Carol used to get up first so she could get out of the house before anything started happening. So each of us had our own, I was the sleeper inner.
Yeah.
Which is just like what you are.
Yeah. Blakesley too. But no, I mean, it's really interesting, the only child thing. And, but I've always said this, I don't feel like I was spoiled as an only child. Like I just felt like because I was the only child, I was at home by myself. And so naturally it was me and you for the most part, after dad moved out, you know, when I was in sixth grade or fifth grade. So it was just us. And so yes. I wasn't necessarily, I don't feel like I was spoiled. I just feel like, you know, I got,
I never felt you were spoiled, but like the thing that always concerned me was like when we would have Christmas and it was just you and I.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, now what do we do?
Your turn. Yay, Ra. Okay, what next? Yeah. Well, I mean, luckily we had, you know, the Sewings who were across the street and they were our neighbor family. And we spent a lot of holidays with them and their family, their extended family. And then we would go back to Lafayette and have them come to St. Louis. I know that one Christmas that we had everybody come to St. Louis. And
And that's another lesson, a life lesson, is it does take a village to raise kids.
Yeah.
And the Sewings were our village.
Oh, they were the godsend. I think that another, to tag on to that life lesson, is you have to ask for help when you need it.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to ask for help. Asking for help is not a bad thing. And you needed help. You know, I was still in school. You didn't get off work until, I don't know, 5 or 6. And so I was home by myself. Or I would have been if not for the Sewings. And, you know, she was, I would say she was more strict than you. She is like my second mom. And she was more strict than you. I remember one time I don't know what happened. We did something, me and the three siblings, we did something and we had to take toothbrushes. And do you remember this? And no. It was one of the floors, like the grout. We had to clean the grout in between the tiles.
Yay, Julie.
I mean, I tell my kids this. So when you're at the table, she taught me so much about table manners. Because with you and I, you're not a chef. You've always admitted you weren't born with the cooking gene, just like me. And so we'd have a lot of microwave meals. Well, at Julie's house, it was not like that. At the Sewings house. She cooked a homemade
restaurant.
Well, that too, but she cooked a homemade meal every night and we would sit at the table. And I remember her taking her fork and she would fork you on the elbows. If you had your elbows on the table, I'll never forget it. She taught me a lot. And I appreciate those, you know, those rules, those boundaries. There's something to be said for being strict. I mean, all three of her kids idolize her. They love her to death. And because that's who she was. She taught them, she instilled in them so many values and successes in life, you know, how they could have a successful life. So yeah, I think there's a lot of learning lessons, but the asking for help, it's not a bad thing to ask for help. I ask for help for my friends all the time if I need it. So I think that's a great life lesson. You're welcome. No, I'm just kidding. I am not taking credit because that obviously I drove you nuts.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to say before I ask you the last question?
Uncomfortable conversations. This is part of what we hear a lot nowadays.
Yeah, right.
Uncomfortable conversations. And I wish I had some uncomfortable conversations with you about the divorce, about when I was really struggling with my mental health.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that I know what you were going through mm. when I was going through with those. Because I don't think we talked a lot about
we
those.
Didn't. And all I knew was that you were in the hospital. I remember, so obviously no one, you know, people listening don't know the full story, but you were hospitalized for your mental health. And I don't, to this day, I don't necessarily know why. Well, I feel like it was depression. Yeah. I don't know how young I was, but I do remember, I feel like I remember walking into the hospital. I remember the doors of the hospital, but I don't remember anything other than that. And all I knew was you weren't feeling well. You were in the hospital. But I remember, I knew that you had dealt with mental health issues, and we have had conversations more about the treatment that you received and the effects that, you know, you still deal with, like your memory. But that's really all I knew. And you know, I think giving you some grace as a mom and going through that, there's certain things that you tell your kids and certain things you don't, you know, and you want to shield them. You want to protect them. You and sometimes it's just not an appropriate conversation to have at that time, you know? And I feel like we talked about it later in life.
Because I think you must have been 9 or 10 because it was before I got divorced.
Yeah. So I must have been in 3rd or 4th grade, something yeah. like that. And that's pretty young.
And I remember I missed Abby, our black lab had puppies.
Oh my gosh. And I remember I was there by myself. Now that makes yes. sense why I was there by myself, because dad yeah. was at work. And I remember calling dad and being like, "Dad, what do I do? Abby's having her puppies." And he's like, "Don't worry. Just get a thing of hot water or warm water and just make sure that all of them come out and she's not in pain." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh. Okay." I mean, it was pretty magical, but it was also pretty scary because I was by myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I never knew you were alone.
Oh.
I never knew you were there by yourself.
I think he came at some point, but to
right.
get
oh,
her
I'm
started,
sure he did.
You know, but I'm pretty sure I think he was at work.
I because think I was. There was one puppy that didn't make it.
Oh, really? I don't
yeah.
remember that part.
He had a gland issue.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And
so
was
it wasn't
he was the biggest one of the.
Good. Then group. It didn't have to do with the birth. It was just
no,
he had a defect
no.
or something. Oh,
yeah.
Got it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I actually remember that being a pretty magical time. I was like, this is pretty cool. I'm getting to see her.
That's interesting because do you remember the 25 questions page that The Bachelor sent you and you had to fill out before they were interviewing
yeah.
you? And one of the questions was, what was one of your favorite childhood memories? And you called me to ask me that.
I did?
Yes, you called me and asked me that. And I said to you, well, I'm not quite sure. I said, but the only thing I could think of was the baby, the puppies being born.
That's so funny. Aw. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember it. I remember it being pretty magical. But yeah, that's interesting that I called you and I'm like, what? Tell me something from my childhood because I don't remember anything. And it wasn't, it's like nothing happened. I didn't have any traumatic incident that happened to me, or I wasn't, you know, physically ill taking some kind of medication. I just have a bad memory. I feel like I was just born with a bad memory.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have too much going on. That's
well,
part of
I also
it,
have
I
that.
You don't have enough bites left.
Oh
yeah.
There,
you know,
I say that now I say my children sucked all of my brain cells out of me, literally.
Yes. Yeah.
So do you kind of wish
yes.
wish that you had gone there, that had
yeah,
those
I've
conversations?
I always wondered if I should have gone more there.
Got it.
That I wasn't, because I was raised where
you don't talk about anything.
We did not talk about hardly anything.
Right. I remember.
No sex, no anything.
No, nothing. No.
No. So thinking that I should have, that should have been part of the version of me that I would have wanted to be.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you this, that I don't think it affected anything, because I'm pretty open with the kids. I've I was the one who had the sex talk with both of them. And Blakeslee and I, as we talked about in the podcast that I did with her, we have a pretty open line of communication. And I don't think it negatively affected me. So I think that you can just throw that one in the trash can. That
okay. Yeah. I'll throw it away.
Throw it away and don't worry about it anymore. I think I turned out pretty great, you know.
I think you did too.
Well, I'll say,
of all the things that you've accomplished, I'm very proud of
you. Thanks. And I'll say, I think I turned out pretty good. Maybe not great, but you know, I have my days, I have my moments. But
oh, yes, you do.
Okay, I want to quickly ask you this last question that you know it because I ask it of everybody who comes on the podcast, and since you listen to everything. Okay, Mom, how do you plan on being better tomorrow?
I'm going to be better tomorrow by doing the project that you just gave me.
Which is what?
No, I'm not telling.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to do better because I'm going to focus tomorrow on one project.
Okay. Oh, our invention. Oh. Yes, people, we're inventing something, and I swear to you, all the ladies, at least the moms out there who have tweens like me and teenagers, you're going to want it. Promise. So, yes, I know I scared you a little bit with my enthusiasm, but yes. I think it's fun. I mean, to have a little project for the two of us, I think it's fun. And who knows where it'll go? Who knows if it'll be anything and if anyone will want it?
That's the pressure.
I know. Like,
okay, I don't want to, I'm retired. Right. I'm an old lady. I don't need
any. You are not an old lady.
I'm 75.
I know.
So I don't need any pressure to meet a timeline.
Got it. No pressure.
No pressure.
No okay. pressure. No pressure. I think we just
really,
do it.
I'm really excited about this next sample creating tomorrow.
Okay, good. Yay. No, yeah, don't be scared. And also the line of communication. Have the uncomfortable conversation with me and say, Trista, I gotta take a back seat. I'm gonna focus on just chilling out today. And tomorrow maybe I'll revisit it. But if there's ever a moment where you feel like it's too much, then just tell me and it's fine, you know?
Okay. Well, what's really nice about it is product development was one of the things that I used to do really well at.
Uh-huh.
And so I haven't had a project. So my sister Sue told me, she said, you now have something that's making your eyes shine brighter.
Oh, I love that.
So.
Oh, yay.
So we'll see.
See, that's actually what I thought. Like, I didn't want it to be a stressful thing. I called you. Because you're usually the first person I call, but I called you because, first of all, you know how to sew, and second, the product development stuff. And I was like, I have a feeling that she'll be able to help with this or might want to do it because you're retired and maybe you want a project other than, you know, doing your pottery or paintings or whatever. So,
right. Great conversation. Thank you, honey.
Thank you. I love you.
Love you too.
And I'm so appreciative for you sharing your life lessons with me and my listeners. So happy Mother's Day, Mommy. I love you.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. I hope you feel a little better after having listened. Please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you're enjoying our show, please send it to a friend and put a little better into their lives. Also, if you would like to find me, you can go to Instagram at Trista Sutter or Facebook at Trista Sutter fan page. Thanks, everybody, and have a great day.